Welcome to the Cybersecurity Expert Podcast, where you learn from the best cybersecurity minds, helping MSPs become cybersecurity heroes for your small business clients. And now, here's your host, Cybersecurity Sherpa, Jennifer Pleem.
Well, hello, and welcome to today's episode, where I am talking with Brian Semro. Brian is the CEO of InfoSec Chicago, and they are a company dedicated to helping MSPs with all kinds of cybersecurity challenges, everything from general consulting to full managed services, managed security, pen testing, vulnerability scans, incident response, digital forensics, a lot of the things that a traditional MSP really does not want to have to deal with. And so Brian's a great resource for all of us here in the channel. Brian, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Excellent. Awesome. I love it when technology works. Okay, so we are going to talk about something that I'm not hearing discussed a whole lot in depth, which is policies. So we hear, you know, in passing, it's not enough just to focus on your solution stack. You need to be worried about your cybersecurity policies. But I never hear much beyond that surface explanation. So that's going to be the gripping topic for the next 30 minutes. And it's always fun because you and I have exchanged a couple of emails, and it's actually a really fascinating conversation. So we're going to jump in. And obviously, we don't want to just rely on the technology. And so we want to put policies in place. But can you give us some practical examples of what these policies might look like?
Sure. A lot of times it's defining what we as IT people might think is obvious, but needs to be defined for our end users. So things like, hey, don't plug somebody's flash drive into your computer that you don't know what it is. Don't use the same password twice, use different passwords, password hygiene, what you want them to be doing, what you don't want them to be doing, et cetera.
Okay, great. And then I guess one of the concerns that I hear is putting these policies in place and not getting very good adoption. And so maybe some pushback from clients or some of the staff members or maybe, various team members at the client site. So any recommendations on how we get buy-in from the end users?
Yep. Well, and this comes down to policies shouldn't be something that's written once for yourself, and then you try to push that on your clients as well. You have to build it to your clients' needs. So a lot of times that means you're going to be talking with your client's CEO or whoever is in charge over there, and you're going to get their buy-in first and just get it, hey, what does your day-to-day operations look like? What are your pain points with IT? What can we solve? How do we solve that through policy? And then we go and we start talking to the end users. And because a lot of times the end users might not have the same perspective as the CEO. But the driver should start with IT, then go to C-level, and then go to the end users. So you need to get all of those kind of all-encompassing in there so that you understand what the business needs are to be able to effectively write what these policies are going to be.
So then because the word is coming down from on high, and it's the owner or the C-level or the C-suite that is dictating the policies with the help of the MSP, of course. Do you find that that allows for greater adoption then, easier adoption?
Yeah, because, at the end of the day, they're not really going to be saying no to the CEO. And when you get them to get that buy-in initially, that really helps be able to kind of push it forward. And the other thing is, IT people generally aren't the best at writing policies. That's not what we do. It's kind of like documentation. It's the, we don't want to do that type of thing.
Any of our assistants, right?
Exactly. but C-level, that's kind of what they do, right? As a business owner, that's kind of what they need to be able to do. Sometimes even like the HR department, they might be able to help you write the policies effectively. For instance, one of the big things about policies is you never use the word will in it. Hmm. You use shall. So you don't say you will not use this password twice. You shall not use this password twice. So just these little wording things that we may not think of that HR, because that's what they do, what C-level, because that's what they do, they can kind of help you guide through that and understand what parts need to be covered. So it's not just to get buy-in, it's so that you're also writing the policies effectively when that's not necessarily what you're trained on.
Fascinating. Okay, good. I promised everyone this would be a great episode, and it has been so far. Okay, so let's pivot to maybe a misconception that you hear in the marketplace that you'd like to try to correct.
So one of the big ones that I hear all the time is you should have your passwords expire every 90 days or X number of days or something like that. And the reality is that's really not the case anymore. The password expiration idea was brought in with good intentions, and the 90 days came from when AD was first invented, so to speak. That's about how long it would take to crack a LM hash at that point, given the technology. And that's where the 90-day number came from. Of course, that's not true anymore. Heck, we shouldn't even be using LM hashes. It should always be NTLM. But, we still have that 90-day number or 30-day or however many number days. And the reality is that just pushes your users farther away. I'm a huge fan when it comes to policy of doing user-centric design. Because users have this breaking point. Once you get above this point where they feel that you're being too much of a burden on their day-to-day lives, they stop working with you. They will start working against you. And so passwords is one of the things users hate. And frankly, I hate them too. so we tell them, you should be using long, complex passwords that change all the time. And you shouldn't use them more than once, all this stuff. But we don't give them the tools to do that properly. So, password managers, that's important to make them understand, hey, here's a password manager. Here's how you use it. This is going to help you do this. So we're not just telling you can't do something. We're giving you the tools to do it properly. And so a lot of times when I'm working with MSPs, I try to get them to roll in a password manager as part of their managed services contract. They're not expensive. Roll that into, your costs and just add that into the price automatically. It's not an option anymore. It's just available for them.
Okay, so let's talk about password expiration then.
Yeah.
Should they expire? Should they never expire? What have you found in your research?
It kind of depends on the company itself. In general, I would say they should never expire. The majority of the research that I've done is when I go into companies that have a 90-day expiration. And so what happens is I go in, I run a little tool that I built that compares Active Directory to Have I Been Pwned, and it gives me all the users that have passwords that are in Have I Been Pwned. And on average, it's about a third of the company with a 90-day expiration. So now that's just a correlation, and correlation does not equal causation. So, it's important to recognize that and say, I can't definitively prove this is the reason this is happening. But it does show that what we're currently doing doesn't work. And so we need to find another way of doing it. And there's other peer-reviewed research that's out there that a lot of times shows that password expiration is what leads to this password hygiene issue. And honestly, this research has been around since the 90s. This is nothing new. The problem is it's in the human-computer interaction side of things, which is more of like a humanities study more than IT. So you don't necessarily hear this a lot in IT because that's really not what we do, and it's more of a humanities thing. So I think that's kind of where we're still, this is kind of a novel concept to a lot of us because we just don't hear it.
Well, and it makes sense that if I'm a user and I don't have a password manager and my password expires every whatever, 30 days, 90 days, and I'm forced to change it to something complex that is not just an iteration of a previous password, how am I supposed to, and I'm supposed to use unique passwords, right? So how am I supposed to remember that other than using a post-it note and in, I guess, best case scenario would be tucking it underneath my keyboard. Worst case scenario would be putting it on the monitor. And so it's fascinating when you said, what was the term you used? User-centric policies?
Yep. So user-centric design. Honestly, I think that's a huge thing, both in policy design and basically any type of IT design that we're doing. For instance, one of the big things I'm a huge fan of right now is the changes Chrome is making to the browser. They're removing all of the extra parts of the URL. It's just the top-level domain now. They're getting rid of the secure flag because users think that means it's safe, which of course it doesn't. And they're just marking it when it's not secure now. So all of these things are an example of human-centric design, is how do we make this so that it doesn't make as much sense to the engineers maybe, but it makes more sense to the average end user that's going to be using it day to day.
Excellent. Okay, so we led into this conversation by saying it's not enough to simply rely on technology, but that we also need to layer some policies in. So let's talk about policies specifically. Can we rely on the policies to work? Are there times where the policies themselves fail?
Yeah, absolutely. There are definitely times when policies fail. So it needs to be a hand-in-hand thing. Obviously, you're never going to secure an organization on policy alone. One of the most famous examples I think of this is Equifax. And that first vulnerability or breach that was in the news was because of Adobe Struts. Here's the thing. They knew that Adobe Struts needed to be updated. They didn't follow through on that properly. It wasn't properly documented. They basically ignored what their tools were telling them and didn't have the right tools in place to be able to say, hey, this is still an issue, even though this was basically a cleared ticket, so to speak. So they had the policy in place, but they didn't follow through on it, which means that's a failed policy.
Got it. So even when it's human error that caused the policy to fail, you would still consider that a policy failure?
Absolutely, because they didn't have the checks and balances in place. With an organization the size of Equifax, it shouldn't have just been the engineer who was looking at this that signed off on it. They should have signed off on it, and they should have had a check and balance. They should have had somebody else sign off on it as well. There should have been at least two people, probably even their manager should have been signing off on it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Even like a fast food restaurant has someone checking on the restroom, the status of the restroom, but it has someone double check the status of, the checklist there. So fascinating. Okay, great. Yeah. All right. Appreciate your time. I know we're running tight. So let me ask you this. We have covered a lot. You provide a lot of great services to the MSP community. If someone wants to get a hold of you or your company, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can check out infosecchicago.com. That's InfoSec Chicago. So there are two C's there, .com. And then my email is just brian@infosecchicago.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Absolutely.
To learn more about how you can become a cybersecurity hero for your clients, request your hero assessment today. MSPSalesRevolution.com/hero.